This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
President Obama, who enacted the original policy, called President Trump's decision cruel.
President Obama's right. It's cruel.
We are talking here about a cruelty of quite a magnitude.
Look, at the end of the day, this may go down as the most cowardly and cruel move ever by a president in the modern United States. And we're just going to go and cruelly just take them away from this life.
To end the DACA program is one of the most cruel and ugly decisions ever made in the modern history of this country by a president.
Today's actions by the president and Jeff Sessions is nothing short than cruel as well as compassionless.
So you have a president needlessly tormenting hundreds of thousands of hardworking Americans with a cruel and capricious policy.
Joe Biden has just tweeted, brought by parents, these children had no choice in coming here. Now they'll be sent to countries they've never known. Cruel, not America.
All the statement reads, it's wrong because it's cruel to send these young people to places many of them have never lived and do not know.
Only in a cruel nation do you take 800,000 documented people and make them undocumented.
The bejeebers out of all these kids. In other words, there's a cruelty there.
And it's a signal to say, I can do something that a lot of people think is cruel.
This is one of the most cruel acts we've seen in the presidency in a long time.
This was a cruel, inhumane, and unnecessary move.
Trump administration's latest immigration policy move has been called cruel.
It's a very cruel and unfortunate decision to end the program.
As kids, his critics say the decision was cruel.
The decision by the Trump administration is cruel.
This amounts to like cruel and unusual punishment to like innocent children.
Immigration advocates say the move to cut them off is cruel. But
a cruel decision, cold-hearted.
As an undocumented immigrant and a DACA beneficiary, the announcement today was cruel.
What did they, Scott, did they all get in, you know, on a conference call together? And the takeaway was, okay, everybody's going to get a T-shirt, and it's going to be cruel. I mean, no consideration whatsoever. I mean, to me, it just seems so obvious that this is an opportunity for people to be legitimized, which is what they want, right?
Yeah, that's what they say they want. And I like this whole, well, the countries that they've never been to and they've never seen. As far as I know, if somebody was a baby, a newborn baby, to a 15-year-old, they were or under 16, they were covered, right?
Yes, right.
Are you telling me a 15, 16-year-old doesn't know the country that they came from?
Well, of course they do. I mean, at that point, and of course they have relatives there and that sort of thing, but a baby is different. And of course, all this stuff
is
being.
The baby would have no idea about that.
No, they would not. And there's no question, you know, in most cases, you know, these kids have been away from, you know, their country of origin, at least 10 years, you know, if not longer in some cases. But whatever that is, the fact of the matter, you tell me that they don't know that their parents have told them, said, hey, look, you got to stay, you got to keep it down low because we're not here legally. You're going to tell me that they don't know that?
There's another thing that I really want to that kind of it's kind of like something that they do that just confuses me. So there's these DACA protests, and they're all walking. I've seen videos where they're walking with Mexican flags draped over them.
Yeah.
And then they burn the American flag. Now, if you do that,
it doesn't
really
endear. It's not enduring you to the citizenry. There's no doubt. That's, you know, that's like Colin Kaepernick, you know, disrespecting, you know, taking a knee and not respecting what America has done for them, even in the time that they've been here illegally, the services that they've received. They ought to say, you know, and again, I'm sure in some cases, some of these kids are saying, and the parents are saying, hey, thank you. Thank you for doing this, and thank you for even now bringing this to the forefront, unlike President Obama, who did something illegal and now has us dealing with this. Now you got Donald Trump with enough foresight and courage to say, okay, let's legitimize this. I mean, because he knows as well as anybody else, if you're going to be successful, you don't need to be worrying about the law coming down on you. You don't need to be out of ethics.
Yeah. Put it in the hands of the only people that can make the law. the Congress. He said, you got 6 months, figure it out.
That is constitutional, isn't it? That's what I thought. Just asking. More from Bill Martinez Live. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, because it's that important, you know, you consider the resources, the amount of money that we're putting toward this country. We want the best return possible, and clearly we have not been getting it because we are off track. And this is on full display in so many areas. And at the very foundation of this demonstration is the fact that the rule of law has been obliterated. And Bill Fetter joins us right now, nationally known speaker, best-selling author, president of Amerisearch, Inc., a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. Bill Fetter, welcome back to Bill Martinez Live. Always good to have you with us.
Great to be with you.
Hey, a lot to talk about here. We were. I do want to talk about this Christian pastor that the Justice Department is forcing to testify in Islam views. But before we get to that, I want your read on DACA. We're talking about getting this country back on track. At the very foundation of this is law and order. And people are up in arms about this. And, of course, all the naysayers and the rebel rousers are talking about, you know, their wild imagination of kids being thrown in the back of some sort of paddy wagon and dumped off at the border. Ain't going to happen. You know, but they're just riling up everybody and not, they can't even see, Bill Fetter, that what Donald Trump has done for them is a giant step toward legitimacy and legality and to get them out of the shadows to where they could, have a codified position in this country.
Well, all children are dreamers, and those include those that are in America, those that came in legally. And so when we understand that when you are giving a job to someone else, you're taking away a job from someone that's already here. So that's the first thing. We need to look out for the dreamers that are here and not steal from the opportunities of kids here. Second is what Obama did was not go through Congress in enacting his agenda, and that put in place an illegal situation where Congress, it's called usurpation, and that's when you do something that you're not authorized to do, but you get away with it, and then as people let you get away with it, that becomes the new goalpost, the new line of authority. So the situation, I apologize, we're in a car evacuating from Florida.
Okay, you're evacuating. I'm still here in Florida myself, so I was saying you're not running away from Hurricane Irma, are you?
yes.
Well, I understand. Yeah. I don't blame you. We may not be too far behind from you.
But usurpation is an interesting thing. George Washington said that's how the country would fall. Mm-hmm. George Washington, in his farewell address, said usurpation, though in one instance it is the instrument of good, mm-hmm. it is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. What does he mean? You have some leader that says, I want to do something good. I'm just going to usurp a little authority, do something I'm not authorized to do, but it's good. Mm. And people say, well, it's good, so go ahead and let him do it, but not realizing that he's setting a new precedent of the country changing from a democratic republic to a dictatorship.
Exactly.
A couple of classic examples. It was good that Lincoln ended slavery, but in the process, he usurped a lot of rights away from the states. It was good that Franklin Roosevelt wanted to end the Depression, but he usurped a lot of power away from the states. It was good that President Bush didn't want to have any more terrorist attacks, but he usurped power so the government can now read everybody's email, track your credit card purchases. You basically have no privacy left, but he wanted to do something good. And so what we see is Obama, with his Dreamer Act, wanted to do, quote-unquote, something good, but in the process, he usurped power away from the states, away from Congress, and it's a dangerous precedent.
Exactly.
So the bottom line is, if we are a country ruled by laws, by the Constitution, we want to do something good, but we want to do it through the means of the people's will being done, mm-hmm. not from one supreme leader.
Well, this is deceiving, Bill Federer, because we say good, but if it doesn't support the Constitution and it's not legal, then good is out the door. It fails to pass the good test. But we want to emotionally look at it, and this is what Barack Obama did in looking at it emotionally and other progressives, and we let go of the rule of law, and then we wonder why our immigration system is broken, why the subjects of this broken law are greatly misserved, and now they're on this emotional roller coaster. And what the former CEO and president of our country did to us was no favors.
Yes, it's when we look at it from a couple different angles, the immigration, prior to 1965, the majority of immigrants into America came from Europe. The immigrants had a work ethic, and they decided that it was a social stigma to take a government handout.
Exactly.
That was the attitude. They ended up voting for candidates that would take away as little as possible of their hard-earned work. And so then we see that Lyndon Johnson and Senator Teddy Kennedy changed the immigration quotas in 1965 to intentionally bring in immigrants from poorer countries, because they knew that they would have no problem taking a handout, and that once you take a handout, there is a strong motivation to want to have that continue.
Exactly.
I used a little illustration. Imagine if you were getting a $1,000 check in the mail every week from someone you didn't know, week after week, $1,000, $1,000. After a few years of this, would you wake up and ask yourself, who is sending me this $1,000 check? I'm going to find out who they are and vote them out of office. Would anybody do that? I mean, I'd even say, well, let it keep it going a little longer, you know.
Yeah.
So once you get people to sign up and take free government handouts, they're guaranteed votes. So it's a Democrat voter-based program. And so that's what Lyndon Johnson did. And he also did it through the welfare program.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, African-Americans, blacks in America, were always Republican. Frederick Douglass was Republican. Booker T. Washington was Republican. Teddy Roosevelt was the first president to have a black person have dinner in the White House. It was Booker T. Washington. It was Democrat Wilson that segregated the military, separating the races. And it was Republican Eisenhower that integrated the military. Mm-hmm. It was Republican Eisenhower that sent federal troops down to the South to force Democrat Governor George Wallace and Strom Thurmond and Senator Byrd to integrate the schools. Right, so the Republicans were always in favor of the blacks, and it was Lyndon Johnson that did the big switch. He moved from intimidation to entitlement. So instead
exactly.
of the Democrats hosing blacks down and sticking dogs on them, he had a bunch of Democrat governors on Air Force One. Ron Kessler writes in his book Inside the White House that Lyndon Johnson said, we're going to do this switch to entitlement programs.
Exactly. Hey, Bill, we got to hit pause right now. We go to break. More from Bill Fetter after this. Stay with us.
Hey, Daniel Bremen, why Numana Storable Foods?
We believe in freedom. America needs strong, independent families to endure what's ahead, and we take this charge seriously. We got options, organic, no gluten, without the chemicals, great taste and value. Numana is a no-lose investment for your family's food independence.
Get your Numana today. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Online discounts available at powerprepper.com, powerprepper.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-963-4946. Even better, call right now and you can get an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over a million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-963-4946. 1-800-963-4946. 1-800-963-4946.
If you had purchased $100 of Bitcoin in 2010, today you'd have $2,600,000. While that sinks in, you now have a huge cryptocurrency opportunity at below market price at a guaranteed 10 cents per coin. Procoin, a coin publicly traded on the open market, easily converted to cash, available in 60 countries, and Procoin is the only cryptocurrency offering coin-back rewards for consumers and merchants. Take action by August 31st at procoincurrency.net. That's procoincurrency.net. Deadline for 10 cent guarantee is August 31st.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
But you have to have the capacity to understand what self-reliance means in lower taxes. We kind of get that idea. But we understand also that there's no such thing as a free lunch. But for many who have been getting the free lunch, they've been, you know, kind of led down this rosy path of entitlement, and you get what Pat Riley calls the disease of more, and it's just never enough, Bill Fetter. It just keeps on going, and as you were outlining historically, I mean, this is a pattern that we have been following, and you've got to blame it on the Democrats. I mean, this is the plan, especially that Lyndon Baines Johnson revived. He did it with the blacks. He did it with poor people. I mean, we instituted the war on poverty. We're $22 trillion down the road. We've gone from 15% level of poverty to 15.1% after $22 trillion. The return on investment has been terrible, and this has been the people's money that's been invested for what? For the continuation of Democratic policies and the reelection of said candidates.
Right. When you study the history of Karl Marx, Frederick Engels, and how they decided to institute socialism and communism, Frederick Engels basically said that you have to create economic crises. You have to bankrupt the country so that people will sign up for welfare. When they do, they will be government pawns. And then every succeeding crisis economically has to be worse than the previous one. So in other words, you intentionally want to waste money and get in debt and tank the country so that people will sign up for welfare, and then you'll backdoor into a socialist communist country where the government controls everybody's lives. Mm-hmm. It's in his writings, Frederick Engels writes about this. Karl Marx writes about this. The capitalist is the evil person. Well, how do you get rid of capitalism? You bankrupt it. And so we think of it's just irresponsible people when there's actually an agenda that intentionally wants to cause there to be economic crises and intentionally wants to put people out of work so that they will sign up for welfare and then be supporters of a continuation of the handouts, the entitlements. And even if it gets generational, that's even better.
Exactly.
So if you have third and fourth generation people that are on welfare, that's great. They're permanent Democrat voters. It's hard for us to understand that people think this way, but George Washington warned about it in his farewell address. There was the beginning of parties. In other words, the Constitution was to divide power into three branches, legislative, executive, judicial. I try to explain people a little way to use the Constitution. I'm one of 11 kids. And I remember one time coming in from playing, there was one brownie left in the pan, and my brother and I were about to fight over it. My mom says, one of you cuts it, the other picks the first piece. Works great, unless you do it with my little brother, because he spit on him and got both pieces. But imagine if there's a big brownie and 300 boys, and you give him each a job. The first one's job is to trace out on the brownie where it's going to be cut. He doesn't know which piece he's going to get. Once the trace is equal, second one's job is to take the knife and execute it, cut the brownie. Third one's job is to judge and see who gets which piece. So their greedy, hungry tummies cause them to be honest. And so the idea is that our power was separated to the Congress laying out the laws, tracing it out, the executive branch signing it into law, executing it, and the judicial branch judging it. And so that was the idea, to pit power against power, selfishness against selfishness, like a tug of war three ways.
Exactly.
And that was the way it was. But Washington saw the beginning of parties. You had the Whigs and the Federalists, and to turn into the basically the big government party and the small government party. You had people like George Washington, John Adams wanted a bigger government so they could have a navy to defend from foreign attack. You had people like Thomas Jefferson that wanted a weaker federal government so that we wouldn't have the heirs of King George III.
Exactly.
So that was the dynamic. But once Washington warned about this new thing called parties, he said it will short circuit it, because if you have two branches, I apologize. If you have two branches of the same party, they're going to say, why should we be pulling against each other? Let's team up against the other side. And so the whole thing short circuits. And so, Washington, in his farewell address, says that people will betray their own country to advance their own particular party's agenda. And that's what we're seeing today. Different people or different parties will surrender the best interests of their country to advance their particular party.
Well, as you lay this out, and all these years, Bill, you've never shared the brownie political policy outline to me before, but that's brilliant. That's it. It's just that simple. And also the realization that people need to wake up to, and that is that there is this diabolical movement, and this is why the pushback against Donald Trump, because Donald Trump wants us to return, and his mission and what Main Street America, the forgotten man and woman heard, is, hey, let's get back to the Constitution. We need to rectify this, and I think the first step is, yes, make America great again, and then the next phase after that is make America greater.
Right. If Trump would have followed Obama's example, he would just have thumbed his nose at Congress and just did everything he wanted to do with executive orders.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wanted to say, okay, we're going to limit people from certain countries, and the court challenges it, he could have just thumbed his nose at the court, which
right.
is exactly what Thomas Jefferson did when he took office. There were some people appointed by John Adams who said, hey, we deserve our appointment, and they sued, went to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court sided with them, and Jefferson said, forget this. You know, I'm not going to do this. Your Supreme Court branch is telling the executive branch what to do. That's not supposed to happen. Same thing with Andrew Jackson, which was a terrible example, but nevertheless, Andrew Jackson was moving the Indians. He was a Democrat. His idea was a big government solution to just chase all the Indians out, call the Trail of Tears.
Yeah.
And the Supreme Court sided with the Cherokee Indians, and Jackson thumbed his nose, says, I'm the president, I'm going to do it. Yeah. You know, John Marshall doesn't have an army, and so, you know, he can't enforce it. But again, this is an idea of presidents saying, I'm not going to submit to a judicial branch. And Trump could have done that. He could have just mm-hmm. said, I'm going to push my agenda through. But he honored Congress to say, let's do it through the congressional means of Congress writes the laws, you know, and the president signs it and so forth.
And this is all part of the process of making America great again, is get the rule of law back into play, get the three branches of government working the way they're supposed to. Bill, I did want to address the Justice Department forcing a Christian pastor to testify on Islam views. I mean, this is Orwellian, isn't this?
Right. The same way that Torquemada in the Spanish Inquisition was calling people in and threatening them and torturing them mm-hmm. To get them to confess their religious views. And England had the Star Chamber under Archbishop William Laud, L-A-U-D, mm-hmm. and they would accuse dissenters and separatists and nonconformists and bring them into this back room and cut off their ear or whatever and force them to confess their religious views. And Lenin did the same thing. He had the Cheka, which was the court system he set up, which would basically drag all the people from their villages in and get them to confess their views. And if they were not in line with the new secular state, they were arrested or killed. And so here we have this out-of-control Department of Justice, leftovers from Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of cleaning house like Bill Clinton did when he took office and fired all the people that were in before him, but Trump left the people in. And so here you have the audacity of a little community in Culpeper, Virginia. And it's a rural area, Shenandoah Valley. The pastor, Steve Harrelson, Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, I spoke there. He showed me the beams in the basement that were made out of logs. He says the church was built in 1827. Mm-hmm. It survived the Civil War because the Union had made it their headquarters, and the Union burnt all the other churches in the whole valley. So it's like
oh.
the church. And
so a lot of history there. Bill, we got about 15 seconds left. Sorry.
So anyway, the Muslims wanted to build a great big huge mega center mosque. The local people didn't want it. The Muslims they didn't have proper sewage. They weren't given a permit. Obama's Department of Justice sues the community, forces them to build a mosque. And then they want to call this pastor in and say, we want your views on
bachelor's degree. On average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma. It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a
laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
DC, there's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with the America 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Sorry that we ran out of time with Bill Federer, but that's what we generally do. I mean, he is a walking history book, as you can imagine. That's why we enjoy having him back, because sometimes we have to look back to go forward. And I believe this is what President Trump is trying to do right now. Like any good CEO that comes into an office or any organization, you've got to look back and say, when were things going good? And when did they start to go bad? And you got to go back and, consider where the wrong turn took place. So if we are supposed to be a country of rules, if we're supposed to be a small government type of company, country living within a budget and that sort of, kind of responsible sort of thing, and this is supposed to be a government up for, by, and we the people, then when did it stop being that way? And what do we need to do, to correct it? DACA is just a small microcosm of the problem, but it is of the same mold, where people have irresponsibly, and I say on all levels, and if President Obama was here right now, I'd say, I'm really ticked at you for doing this. I mean, what you did to the kids, what you have done to these families, and you knew darn well you were breaking the law, what you set us up for was not right. It's not fair. It's not fair to these kids. It's not that they should have any kind of emotion that somehow they're in a bad position. But right now, Donald Trump is taking a bullet for these kids, and he's taking all the heat on this, and he's putting the responsibility back where it belongs, where it is with our Congress right now, to address this issue, codify the law, and legitimize all these kids, these dreamers, to where then they can proudly say, I am an American. I have contributed, and I'm part of the solution, and welcome to America. That's what should happen, and that's what's in process right now. But all these other emotions and all these anti-American displays that are taking place, No bueno. Okay, so we need to chill out for a little bit and let this play out and support the president and what he's trying to do and Congress. Talk to Congress about this. All these talking heads that want to bring up all these other problems, that's a whole other issue. We've got Daniel Simone with us. Daniel is a mob historian. Yes, you heard me right. A mob historian has numerous insider stories, beginning with his personal interactions with Henry Hill, one of the most famous rats in the history of the mafia, and from a roster of former mafia associates. Daniel, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
It is my pleasure, and I'm fine. And how are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thank you so much, and I appreciate your patience here. We had to just transition. We ran a little bit out of time with our previous guest, but you and I got a little bit of time here to talk about, Henry Hill. Who is Henry Hill, by the way?
Before I respond to that question, I would like to first and foremost praise and mention that your comments about this DACA situation was well put, well thought out, and I applaud you for announcing it publicly.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's in my heart, and you got to imagine, Daniel, me being of Hispanic background, I'm taking all kinds of heat myself, some of these radicals. Why are you saying that? What are you thinking about? I'm going, because it is about the rule of law in life. We want you to be, everybody needs to be successful. I tell my kids the same thing. My dad told me that. My dad was a World War II veteran, served with General Patton during the Battle of the Bulge. He was a medic. And, this was something that our father drummed into all nine of us kids. And, I saw this work. We assimilated. He said, you need to assimilate. We assimilated into the community. And there are many Hispanics like me. I'm not that unique. Their voices have been, kind of blocked out a bit because of all the other people that are shouting things that I go, well, where are you? What's the end game with the trajectory of ideas that you're saying that people are entitled somehow? And, what is the end game here? We need responsible citizens, and there are many Hispanics and Europeans and other people. I mean, we are a country of immigrants, let's face it anyway, who have come here for the greater good, for their families, and they've lived it out, and it's served them well. And this is what works. This other stuff, it doesn't work. It creates hysteria. It's a waste of money and time. And I think very, the lives of these people, Daniel, because that's what I think about is that, what is their future? What is their life? Why are we here for? Are we just here just to, get behind a parade of a bunch of rebel rousers and get all exercised? Or are we here to build something of some consequence for ourselves and our families? I would hope it would be for the greater good.
Well, again, your thoughts and comments are commendable on this topic, and not to dwell on it, but I myself and my family also have immigrated here from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I'm one of those immigrants that the public has read about in crossing the Atlantic on ocean liners, on ships, and that's precisely how my family and I arrived to America. And I was very fortunate in the sense that I had an uncle here who had already been an established American citizen and a successful businessman and a very intelligent person. And the instant we got off the ship, he came to pick us up at the pier in Manhattan, and he made me forget Italy. He said, you're now an American. Forget about where you came from. Always uphold your heritage and respect your heritage, but you are now an American henceforth.
Wow.
And I'm very, very glad and absolutely I'm in gratitude to him for having instilled that concept in me. And so I attribute part of my success in later in life to the concept that my uncle instilled in me about being an American and assimilating.
And you're so blessed, Daniel, to have an uncle like that. And I think of how many kids come here to this country that don't have uncles like yours to lead the way, and they're subject to these bad influences, these people, these gangs, sex traffickers and that. And these are the overlooked stories, the underreported stories that are taking place where some of these people, they come here to this country, they have no direction, and next thing you know, the wrong people get a hold of them, and they're being directed into, if they're boys, turned into drug runners, if they're girls, and if they have something to offer whatsoever, then, they become part of the sex trafficking trade, which is absolutely disgusting. And, we've reported on this a couple of times on this show, Daniel, where you've got some girls out there that are part of these sex sex trafficking organizations, and I mean they are they've got them going to these camps and servicing these workers as many as 20 times a day.
Sure.
And that's just daytime. And then they have the nighttime schedule that they have to keep up with as well. And this is what's happening to these immigrants. And then they say we're being discompassionate because we're not concerned about the rule of law. And, you know, all these kids under DACA and everything, all it is, it's a matter of codifying, make them legal, get them out of the shadows so that if there is a problem, they can feel comfortable to dial 911 and get some help.
Exactly. Precisely. Once again, my compliments to you and your thoughts.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Henry Hill, who was immortalized in Martin Scorsese's film Goodfellas. Give us some background, if you would.
Well, again, maintaining the same topic on immigration, Henry Hill and his family. Well, not Henry Hill himself, but his the family, his mother and the father were also immigrants of that period. And again, his mother, a very intelligent woman, made her children, Henry and his siblings, assimilate to the ways of America. Unfortunately, Henry took it one step further and became an outlaw, an American outlaw, no less.
Right. And of course, you know, hey, this is a free country. It's an option. You can do good, do bad. He chose to do bad.
He did redeem himself in the end.
Yes.
He was significant, and he was key to for the government to put away as many as 46 top-ranked mafia gangsters.
Mm-hmm.
He cleaned up the streets quite a bit, and he did his part. He felt good about it. He felt gratified, but at the same time, I sensed and detected in his inner self certain ill feelings and remorse for having turned on some of the people, former associates of his, who had literally become his surrogate family.
Exactly.
But I think that the gratification and the expunging of his guilt overwhelmed the remorse that he harbored until
exactly.
The day he died.
Daniel, we got to go to break. We'll be right back, and we'll pick up the conversation from there. Daniel Simone, I'm Bill Martinez live.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guarantee quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Attention to anybody of any age who takes any prescription medications. How would you like to save up to 85% on almost every prescription drug you're currently buying at your local pharmacy? We're talking about saving you real money on most of the top prescription drugs. Up to 85% savings. Asthma medications, you can save up to 85%. High cholesterol and high blood pressure meds, save up to 85%. And many, many more. This is not a hard-to-use discount card. These are real savings on prescription meds delivered to your door in days. We have expert prescription consultants to help you right now. It's a free service. So call now and learn how you can save up to 85% on most prescription drugs.
Call now, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337. That's 800-362-9337.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now.
855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, it's the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. And even later on, if you want to hear at your own convenience and pass it on to your friends and neighbors, a podcast of Daniel Simone, go to our website and download the podcast and listen at your own convenience. Good stuff here as we continue our conversation with mob historian Daniel Simone, who's had numerous insider stories, beginning with his personal interactions with Henry Hill, one of the most famous rats in the history of the mafia, and from a roster of former mafia associates. As you were sharing with us, Daniel, Henry Hill, who you knew personally, you know, had a moment of conversion. And as you say, it's rather tough. I mean, for 25 years or so, this was his life, working with the Lucchese family, crime family out of New York. You know, watching each other's back, protecting each other's kids, all the other cultural involvements. I mean, you talk about the ties that bind. There's a lot of connection there. And then when you decide to cut those ties, boy, that's gotta be tough. That's like, going to Alcoholics Anonymous or something and trying to get away from that stuff because it's so much a part of your life. How do you do that, Ryan?
Had no option, Bill. Once he was convicted on drug charges, it wasn't a conviction yet, but he was charged for distribution of narcotics. This was an event that took place immediately after the Lufthansa robbery, and now Henry Hill was facing 30 years in prison. Mm. And at that point, he became a liability to his associates.
Yeah.
His associates fearing that there would be a strong probability that Henry would, most probably decide to cooperate with the government, as anyone else might have in those circumstances, and therefore he had to be eliminated. And once the FBI convinced Henry that his former associates were planning to murder him, he then decided to become an informant and cooperated to round up and prosecute and convict, as I mentioned earlier, 46 top level gangsters in the New York area. So Henry Hill had really no choice, and this is after his defecting from the mafia and becoming an informant and witness, it seems to me that it became a common occurrence. when a gangster, you know, would be facing endless years in prison, to immediately defect and cooperate with the government.
There can be life after the mob then, huh?
Well, there can be, but rather restricted, because naturally once the informant enters the federal witness protection program, there are many restrictions. Of course, he and his family have to assume a new identity in some remote location from where they were raised, or away from their environs, their family, their friends, their former neighbors, and it becomes a life of obscurity.
Yeah, and you're looking over your shoulder, I would think, constantly. Let me ask you this, Daniel. Did the movie Goodfellas, in a way, did it serve to protect Henry Hill, in a sense, because he was such a celebrity? I mean, of course, this was this movie that was released in 1990. Did this help his cause in terms of protection, or this just made him a bigger target?
Well, not at all. It made him a much bigger target, but fortunately for Henry, all of those people, most of the criminals that he testified against were either imprisoned for life or had already died. So there was an element of safety because of that, but nonetheless, the risk of someone finding him and killing him just for bragging rights was ever present. And but Henry, in my opinion, after having spent 2 years, speaking with him on a daily basis, literally, in my opinion, I don't think Henry cared.
Yeah.
He was reckless in many different ways, and not only that, even for his own health, he suffered from diabetes and a host of other illnesses, but he would not take the advice of his physicians, he would not take the prescribed medications, and he would not abstain from the alcohol abuse that he endured until his very last final days.
Unbelievable. Well, Daniel, how did you have access? Was this while he was in prison or while he was in witness protection?
No, Henry had been expelled from the federal witness protection program. And the reason why is because he kept getting into trouble. And most importantly, Henry would be, let's say, relocated in some remote area of the country under an assumed identity. Soon enough, he was gregarious. He would introduce himself to his new neighbors. He would host a an outdoor barbecue. And after a couple of beers, he would reveal his true identity, and we would start telling stories of his days of glory. He would reveal himself to his neighbors, the marshals, the federal marshals, were compelled to relocate him. And after the third time, they finally said, okay, Henry, you know what? You're on your own.
Exactly.
And that's when I met him.
Oh, amazing. Well, I mean, even at one point, I mean, he has an interview with the Daily Telegraph in 2009. He goes, well, I shot at people, I busted a lot of heads, and I buried a lot of bodies. Some just got whacked for absolutely no reason at all. He says, quote unquote. I mean, he's laying it out there, and I guess this must have been when he was already kicked out of the witness protection program.
So yes, and I must add to that that he was exaggerating. In my opinion, in my findings, I should say, I don't believe Henry actually murdered anyone himself.
Mm-hmm.
He might have perhaps roughed up someone who might have owed him money, or a bad gambling debt or something like that. But I didn't find any evidence, any conclusive evidence that Henry himself murdered or injured someone to a point of, really causing damage. But he bragged, and which is not unusual for that element to do. Sometimes they will take responsibility and brag about crimes that they had no involvement in, that they didn't even commit.
Sure. Well, you got to have street cred, right?
It's precise. That's exactly what it amounts to, Bill.
Right. Well, I got to say that the way Ray Liotta played him, played Henry Hill in that 1990 movie, was perfect, because Ray came across that way as well, didn't he?
Yes, Ray Liotta did a sensational job, as did all the other actors in the film. And unfortunately, most of them hardly got paid.
Really?
They were paid so minimally, but they did it in order to get that credit, obtain the film credit, and in the end they paid off because most of them became far more notorious than they had been before they had partaken in the movie Goodfellas.
Yeah. Daniel, how did you get into now becoming the mob historian? I mean, how did this happen?
I guess it happened through osmosis. I published the Lufthansa heist, which was a notorious, infamous crime known all over the United States and even parts of Europe. And the media started labeling me or declaring me as a mob historian. I do have a significant information and knowledge about the Sicilian mafia, but I really would not consider myself a professional, accredited historian.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, here, the Lufthansa heist, you co-write it with Henry Hill himself. So that was quite extraordinary, and that the two of you would, put your talents together to co-author this celebrated book.
Yes, and I also had the good fortune of having had the collaboration of the two lead FBI agents who were involved in the investigation. In fact, one of them wrote the prologue in the book, and the second wrote the epilogue. And I also had the cooperation of the former U.S. attorney who was in charge of the investigation, Ed McDonald. In fact, Ed McDonald, as I said, he was the former U.S. attorney who handled all the prosecutions that Henry Hill assisted with. Ed McDonald played himself in the film Goodfellas.
Mm-hmm. Why is there so much interest in the mob, even to this day? I mean, certainly we've had, The Godfather, all the other mob movies and that. Elliot Ness, and you just go on down the line, but there just seems to be a mass attraction for the mafia. Why is that?
The public has an unquenchable thirst for these stories, principally because it has been glamorized by by Hollywood, by the media. Gangsters are portrayed as suave, wealthy, powerful personages, which is not really the case. And I think subconsciously, or at least subliminally, many, many people would love to lead the life of a gangster if they could get away with it.
Yes, exactly.
I'm cautious in saying subliminally, not realistically. But it's the portrayal by Hollywood, by the media, that entrances the public. But in reality, it's important to note that 99% of all gangsters lead a very difficult life in poverty. They do not earn sufficient money to support their families. And of course their families and children suffer as a result of it. They're always concerned about an imminent, an impending arrest or an imminent assault by one of their own, or possibly someone from a different faction. There's always an arrest. There's always a pending prosecution. So it's not at all.
As glamorous as some would want it to be. You see, this is the challenge that we have with our imaginations. We always make things that are not as though they are, and then there is the real world, right, Daniel Simone? Daniel, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it. Today, Henry Hill got whacked on Bill Martinez Live.
Check your Google search results lately. Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health.